and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Is that blue?
No, I haven't pulled it out.
And then you do a roll call.
Good.
Roll call.
Carlton Roby, Russ Dan.
Ford Shivers.
Susan Young. Before we begin, I just have one quick request. Thank you very much for attending. Everyone will have an opportunity to speak tonight, but we're going to have different things that we're going to have to be discussing, so you might not get the chance to speak exactly when you want to. Everyone will have an opportunity to speak. We are your selectmen, this is your town, so please be respectful and refrain from talking while other people are speaking. That will be great. Thank you very much. So, approval of the previous minutes for May 14th.
I'll make a motion to accept for May 14th as printed for discussion, if there is any.
And I'll second for discussion, because I do have a couple of changes. On page 6, when they talk about the budget committee and they were talking about the warrant, it says she, and I had someone ask me, they thought I typed up the warrant or I submitted, I don't know why, but
okay.
If you could just change that to town clerk a couple of times where it says she, I think that'll clarify that a little bit.
Yep.
And then it says one page. On page 10, it says Chairman Roby, and I believe it was underneath the board to authorize the purchase.
Yeah, I see it. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
That's all I saw. Thank you. And right above that, it looks like the motion is repeated twice in the italics. See how it's made? And then there's Ms. Selectman Chivers' comments, and it's the motion again right above it. Same page.
On 10?
Yeah.
Okay, and it's...
Looks like the motion. Strike the second motion, I think, okay. I believe. Everyone agrees.
I have it. Oh, you know what? You guys might have it. Okay. I fixed it. Yeah, I have already fixed it. I can't find it, so
sounds perfect. Thank you.
Oh, okay, so you must have one. I must have turned that off for you. Okay.
Everybody have time to look it over?
Yeah. You want a motion on to accept the minutes as amended?
Yes, how's that?
We already did that.
No.
Not as amended.
No. Okay. I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. The next order of business, the board to accept Selectman Mark Laliberti resignation and address procedure on the vacancy per RSA 669:63. And I'll entertain a motion to accept the resignation. We have the letter addressed to Andrea right here in front of us.
Would it be appropriate to read that letter?
We can. Would you like to
do
that?
Sure. Dear Ms. Hansen, addressed to Andrea, care of the town of Canada. I'm writing to let you know I've been offered and have accepted a position on the Pinkerton Academy Board of Trustees. This is an exciting opportunity to address the new education landscape in Canada, and with my wife and I going through the foster to adopt process, one I think will be personally beneficial as well. Unfortunately, one of the stipulations to be a trustee is not to hold public office in town. Pinkerton seeks trustees that, in their words, are lacking potential conflicts of interest, i.e. no local town elected officials, taking care to separate the interests of Pinkerton Academy from the specific needs and interests of a particular constituency. As a result, I'm resigning my position as a member of the Canadian Board of Selectmen effective Thursday, May 17th. That also means I'm relinquishing my seat on the Planning Board and resigning from the Conservation Commission, which I will do in a separate letter to the chairman. I want to thank you and Donna Becker for being incredible resources to me in these past few years. I also want to thank Selectman Chivers, Dan, Roby, Young, and former Selectman Komisarek for their counsel and commitment to community as well. We'll miss serving on the board and hope in the future when my commitment to Pinkerton is complete, I am able to serve in local government again. Again, thank you for everything, and I will be sure to come by the office soon. Signed, Mark Lalaverty. Motion to accept Mr. Lalaverty's resignation?
I will second that, and want to, I think at this time, thank him for his time that he has spent serving with Candia. He was very much concerned about Candia moving forward.
Good. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And Andrea included filling of vacancies for selectmen. Again, RSA, for anyone interested, 669:63. So it is our charge, the remaining, I'll read the first couple of lines. Vacancies in the Board of Selectmen should be filled by appointment made by the remaining selectmen. If we fail to make such an appointment, the Superior Court or any justice thereof on petition of any citizen of the town and after such notice as a court shall deem reasonable may appoint a suitable person. And then it goes on a little bit more, but it's basically our responsibility to do that. And she's also, I believe, the past practice has been to give people an opportunity to put their letters of interest in. Is that correct?
Yeah.
And she's given us a sample of what you might want to choose to do. And it says it would be like a public notice seeking letters of interest from individuals interested to serve. It would only be a 10-month appointed term. It would expire on March of 2019. And I think there was a cutoff date that I was thinking of. What do you think, gentlemen?
Well, we're not going to meet again until June 11th and then again on the 25th. Why don't we make the cutoff date somewhere before the 25th meeting? So they just like Friday the 22nd? And that gives them, I mean, because if you, and that way we can act on it on the 25th.
And my thought was the 8th. And then we can go about going to a chairman. I'm just, quote, basically vice chairman, which is a role I prefer. Is that putting it nicely? As you can see, I'm not used to doing it. So I was thinking if we gave them till the 8th, that's 9 days to get their letters in. And then we could make a decision on the 11th, the meeting of the 11th. And then we could, I believe when we had a full board, there's other things, we have other decisions I think we're gonna have to wait, in my opinion, till we have a full board to make some of these decisions. And I'd prefer to do it sooner than later. But if you have other, I understand what you're saying. What do you?
That's fine with me.
Which one?
Just what you just said.
To do it the 8th?
Yeah. Anybody who's gonna sign up, they know the circumstance, they're gonna put their name in, they're gonna get it done next week. Come to a meeting, we can seat someone, get on with our business.
The communications in this town is the reason I question that soon as of, you know, the first meeting that we have. Will people be aware of it? That's giving enough people an opportunity to get their letter in.
With all due respect, in this small town, I heard about Mark's resignation before we received a letter. You know, I think it was pretty well communicated. Maybe if we put it on the website and then maybe if we ask permission to put it on the Candia Community website, that might be something.
I agree with that. As many avenues as we can get out there.
Yeah, because we just have important things I think we have to decide. And I think it's, in my opinion, it should be done with the full board. But
I agree with you. So
would you go with that?
Sure.
Just to get it done so we can get the board and the chairman and everything.
Get it on the website and get it on that little Facebook page they have.
Yeah, and post it out here.
I'd say do it tomorrow. And then what would be the closing on that? The 8th?
Probably
Yeah, that's Friday the 8th at 3 o'clock, is that agreeable to you?
Yeah.
And then if any of the chair, if any of the selectmen wanted to look over some of the things that had come in, so we're kind of prepared to talk with people. And then what do you do on the meeting on that Monday? Do they come before the board?
See someone.
Okay. But do you ask them to come in that Monday?
Yes, they come to the meeting. Yeah, they should come to the meeting, yeah.
So maybe ask them or put that somewhere so they know that it's kind of expected that they come to that meeting on the,
Sure.
All right, good, that gets... Okay. The board, next order of business, a board to approve the transfer of the MTAG funds to the planning board operating budget. And that, I believe, just takes a motion. We discussed this at our last meeting. And we have a letter from the planning board chairman, Rudy Cartier, asking us to, I'll take a motion if you like.
I'll move that we grant Mr. Cartier's request by transferring $9,600 from the master plan implementation account to the planning board operating budget.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, so what's the minutes? I've got the one. Okay, the next order of business is the board to continue the skid steer discussion. And before we start on that, I wanted to entertain a motion to table it until we have the full board in place, so that it's just not the four of us hearing, but possibly the fifth person, so they could make a decision. Is that something, or do you have additional information you'd like to share?
I want to bring people up to date from the last meeting.
Okay.
Number one, I'd like to thank the board members that took the time to go down to the recycling center to talk to Chuck about the skid steer replacement piece. I think that was very good. There was a confusion at last meeting. I being new, and Chuck has never purchased a piece of equipment, where I had asked Chuck, I want to review skid steers that are out in the market and see in the last 10 years what has changed. And that's the reason there was a case and there was a Bobcat that was looked at. But those items, as Chuck had expressed in his presentation, did not meet the requirements that are needed down at the recycling center. So that was the confusion. And the other end of it, we were both under impression there should be looking at least three type of items, and two of them did not meet the requirements that were needed. But we brought them in to take a look at it and go from there. With the question on the JCB, which is more expensive, and there are reasons for that. I'd like to pass these out. First of all, JCB, and what it is the extended boom unit. That's the only company that makes it. If you go in there on page 9, you'll see that unit with that boom. And that gives it everything that we need at that recycling center. As a matter of fact, this last weekend, there was a lot of construction waste that came in, and the one dumpster, they used this to pack the dumpster, to pack it down,
they packed it down a minimum of 5 times, and then they had to start going to the other dumpster. That probably all 3 of those dumpsters, if we did not have a chance to pack it down, would have been filled, and that would have required hauling out 3 dumpsters instead of less dumpsters being hauled. Also, if you go to page 10, you'll look, and the other safety factor is a side entrance. There is no other skid steer with a side entrance. I had the pleasure of talking with Dennis Lewis, and he had told me he felt that Volvo has a side steer, side entrance unit, which I checked with, and they do, but it's only a skid steer. It does not have a boom, and that Volvo is made by JCB. It is developed by JCB, and their patent is on that boom, which is very important. So that safety feature, and I was at an NRRA meeting the other day, last week, pardon me, and went to a class that they had on safety. And it was, what can you do and what have you. And I brought this up with the front end of a Bobcat, when you have to crawl over the front end. And people, we got in a very good discussion on it, that people never thought of it, the hazards that that creates. You have one person being hurt, you're into a insurance or a liability in that manner, which can cost you either losing an employee if they're hurt that bad. But, and the other thing with the side entrance, if there's something wrong with the load, that person can get out and take care of that load. Otherwise, with a normal Bobcat, you can't get out with, you've got the arms up on that unit. So the safety factor. Another safety factor, if you look on page 11, you're talking about visibility, a lot more visibility in the unit. So for the safety aspect, then on page 13, the JCB skid steer is with a 2-year, 2,000-hour warranty standard. The boom itself is lifetime, and that's where the extra expense is, because if you got a JCB, just a regular skid steer would be around the $53,000 to $55,000 price. Then there was a question, there was looking for specs, and all the specs are right on the back page of this unit. So trying to bring forward what this unit is. It's last time we got hung up on a couple units that would not meet the requirements.
Yeah, here's your one thing, and I hate to interrupt, Russ.
No.
Did you get the other information that was requested? I think there was a question on taxes and a question on
trade-in.
The trade-in. Did you happen to have time to get that or not yet?
Well, first of all, the Bobcat, which had a, quote, sales tax on it.
Yes.
It's not even in the discussion.
Okay.
It's not even in the, so it was not followed up on. We have a $3,000 trade-in allowance on the JCB. This here is...
That sounds low, but I'm not...
No, well, I'm not, you know, I mean, it's like when you go to a...
car dealership.
Car dealership, yes, yep. That's the quote.
Okay, here we go.
That's the quote. So there's a $3,000 trade-in. I was up to JCB yesterday and asked them different questions. And I said, you've got a $3,000 trade-in, which they felt is fair. And I said, and he said, you know, if we picked the unit up and we felt we could do anything more, we could do it. But right now, that's where it sits, at $3,000.
Is this thing the same kind of crab steering as the JCB we have now,
yes,
or just a skid steer?
It's the same thing as we got right now.
Front,
yeah,
yeah,
right.
All right, okay.
That's what I'm saying, is all the specs are right in here, mm-hmm, and I'm not.
No, I think that would be great to share, and especially who comes on, maybe leave it in the to-read folder or something like that, and if they look over the minutes, they'll familiarize themselves with
the
discussion has been so far.
Are you not in favor of this?
I'm not in favor of taking a vote without a full board. I'm not in favor, but again, I'll open it up to the others. I did talk to Chuck. They did fix a fuel line that leaked. He said it'll get by for now. And I guess I just felt more comfortable having a full board make that decision. And I wanted to make sure the information that was requested by Selectman Chivers and Roby was furnished before we went on.
What are we looking for?
Everything that they asked for in here. I don't know. Do we have that?
No, it's 7,000 hours you had asked on that unit down there.
That's correct.
What we have, 7,000 hours. Mr. Roby, you remember anything?
Yeah, I wanted to speak on that a minute. Mm-hmm. I think if we go back until to our September budget meeting, I'm pretty sure we were told that we needed to replace a skid steer.
Yeah.
Because it was in very bad shape and it wasn't going to go much longer. And we said, well, we don't have the money now, but we'll budget for that and we'll see what happens. So at that point, I'm thinking the JCB that we have is doing its job and it's good. So we were told we needed to replace the skid steer. And at the same time, it was in bad repair. And if I remember going back through the budgets, and we spent about $12,000 on that thing, keeping it running. Maybe not 12, but we spent a lot of money to keep that machine running. So with that being said, I feel at this point, that machine that we're going to trade in has a bigger value than $3,000. That's the first thing I got going. I don't know how much we spent, and then I don't know how much the machine was worth, but it obviously has to have a value. And if we wanted to end up with two similar machines, I think that's what we should have requested when we started to talk about this at budget time, so we knew what direction we're going. I hear you, Russ. We've been using them skid steers front load, no telescopic boom. They've been down there for 10 years and we seem to do okay. So, plus, I think, I don't know who did the work on that machine, but they obviously must know how much money they put in it in the last 8 to 10 months. And if we considered buying from them one of their machines, I feel that the trade-in should be more than $3,000. That's all I got. I think that's where we're at.
Well, yes, I can see where the front-end loader, let me call it in that manner, without a boom, skid steer, it is not doing, it was purchased at the old site when you actually, all you did was push. You picked up and pushed into the hopper. That's all that was used for. It is not efficient to go into the baler. It is not efficient to stack down the cardboard. It is not efficient to stack down the paper. It is not efficient. And like I said, the C&D materials this last weekend, it saved us money right then and there by being able to compact that waste. If it, we had nothing to compact that waste, the unit pays for itself over a period of time. We're talking a $13,000 expense. The other end of it, say you have a project that needs to be done and it's 20 feet high. What do? You buy a 10-foot ladder because it's cheaper and the project doesn't get done? I mean, trying to put it in some comparison, we're talking to a individual, Chuck, who works and manages this facility, and it is his recommendation to have this JCB with the extended boom. That will extend the life of the unit that we have now, and we will have, be able to have two units being able to do, if one breaks down, you've got the other one. It's, and that older one is 10 years old, and it needs repairs too.
Yep.
This will stretch it. It won't be using all the time.
Right.
Yeah, just one more thing. As yep. I've been talking about, Wall Street Journal 2 weeks ago, recycling firms hit by crushing economics. Recycling as we know it isn't working, it says. There's always been ups and downs in the market, but this is the biggest disruption that I can recall. U.S. recycling programs took off in 1990s as calls to bury less trash in landfills coincided with China's demand for materials such as corrugated cardboard. Recycling as we know it is going to change very quickly here. It's going to have to. I've been saying it. I've been looking at it. So we need to really consider. We spend a lot of money down here, Mr. Dan. We just bought an $80,000 baler. We're talking about spending $55,000-$60,000 on another piece of equipment. I'm not making this stuff up. It's out there. You just got to go out there and research it. We talked about this a couple weeks ago, and Mr.
Couch
came in with a big spiel about we're doing it right, and I understand all that. I understand the concern that a few citizens have about that facility, but on the other hand, as far as the community goes, we need to consider what we're doing down there. And you can believe it or not, but it's coming down that path that this isn't working. And we just keep putting more and more money into this equipment and this facility with, we're not sure where we're going. We're not really sure where we're going.
Let me ask you now, what would your recommendation be? We're not doing the recycling properly. What's your recommendation?
I'm not sure. I put that out there for the Recycling Energy Committee, and Mr. Couch came back with a 30-minute talk about how everything was good.
And with all due respect.
And then,
Well, we're off on it.
I don't want to spend $60,000 on a piece of equipment that we're not going to need in a short period of time.
Okay, well, gentlemen, excuse me one second. I think we are getting a little off track we're looking at the big picture. I appreciate what you're doing, Carlton, for sure. But before we get into like a 2-hour debate on this, and I think probably the audience has some input that they'd like to share. Is this something, it sounds to me from talking with Chuck, he can get by till the next meeting or whatever. It sounds they've repaired the fuel leak. Is that accurate or not?
That was.
Okay, so we don't have to do this tonight. Did you find the trade-in cost for the other two, for the Case and the Bobcat, or did you not look at that at all?
The Case.
It's okay people, if you didn't get a chance.
The Case, we showed it the other night. The Case will give you $6,000.
And
that's, fine. You buy a piece of equipment that's going to be sitting there and not being used. That, I think, is very foolish.
But how about this? How about this? If the manager of the facility goes to these gentlemen and say, hey, look it, we have another company who's going to sell us a less expensive machine. They're going to give us six and you're going to give us three. We've spent over $12,000. You've repaired it. Approximately. I said check with Donna to get the facts, but I think it was way up there. Why don't you ask him? Maybe he can go back and use that as a tool, like just like buying a car.
That has been done. This is where I went up there to JCB yesterday.
Okay.
And that is where it's at. Okay. I went up there, me personally, and it's not that I didn't trust Chuck. I wanted to get these brochures because spells everything out that you had questions on the last meeting. This type of thing, now we're talking about the Candia has decided many years ago we are mandated recycling. Mm-hmm. Now, if you want to change that...
That's another discussion. That's
total another discussion. We're talking about equipment that is needed here to process the way we are doing it at this time. We've got a multi-million-dollar facility out there. That baler, if you decide to close that facility, that baler could be sold.
Yeah, let's not talk about closing.
This is what was on the last meeting. This is what came down that we go roadside pickup.
Okay, interrupt for one second. Sure. Is it the pleasure of you three that we wait till we have a full board? And if we have absolutely any questions at all that you want to wait till the next meeting? I think, again, Chuck said he can get by because they replaced a fuel leak. That's what he told me. It might have broken again. I don't know. I try not to go there. I mean, I love it, but it's my husband's job. So, can you wait? Do you want to wait? Do you want to make a decision tonight? What do you think?
Well, I don't think we're ready to make a decision. I think Carlton brings up some pretty good points. Recycling may not be in Candia's future. Okay. We may be buying a $65,000 machine that we're not going to need next year. And that would be foolish of us to sit here tonight and commit ourselves to a $65,000 machine when the economics don't support recycling in the next 18 months.
Okay, having said that, Russ, how about if we table this till the next meeting, okay? I think we probably have some comment from the audience that might help give us direction one way or the other. Is that okay with you or not?
This is where I get frustrated now.
Okay.
I was at the NRA meeting last week. Recycling changes all the time. We're part of that NRA.
I thought he was talking about the Rifle Association. Okay, go ahead.
NRA.
Okay.
That recycling has changed, and it will continue to change in different ways. But this single streaming, everybody wants to get out of it. It's very, very costly. 10, 15 years ago, it was the thing to do. Today, what we're doing is the benefit. That's where it's at. We're getting money for things that we recycle. You're talking copper, brass, all of these things you want to recycle. And this, we can kick the can down the road a while, eventually. If you talk about you're going to go into some other type of recycling, you ain't going to do that in 1 year. You're going to have the town vote to eliminate mandate recycling. So you're going to have to be here taking care of what we're doing now.
So you can see Colin's point that maybe we need to look at, as far as spending that much on something that might not be useful. I think he's looking ahead. I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think he's looking at the future and what best way to utilize the funds.
Let me say this. This unit will have better resale value than any skid steer that you have because of that boom. Loudon's gone to it. There's another one that JCB, and the safety factor of getting in and out of that unit there's invisibility. I mean, in 10 years, things have changed.
You don't have to convince me, Russ. What do you gentlemen think as far as voting on this now, waiting till we have a full board? What are your ideas?
You're going to put a new selectman right in the middle of this?
Yeah. Well, what do you want to do? Do you want to make a decision tonight? That's okay, too. One person.
I would vote to fulfill what we said that we were going to replace the case skid steer, I think. That we were going to replace what we need to replace.
I think
in a machine like that, if something changes, them machines have a lot of resale value out on the market, and who knows? You know, but that's where I would head with this. That's what we said we would do. We budgeted for that. The people voted for that. That's what we told the people we were going to replace the machine that was down.
But we budgeted 65, I think.
No, because we didn't have a quote. Right. We budgeted enough to buy.
But I thought we put in the line 65.
That's what we budgeted. Yeah.
It can go either way.
And on that point I don't like seeing a $65,000 line item for something that they quoted $65,000 for.
That's interesting.
I don't like that.
It's a $68,000 machine.
Yeah,
and
I was talking.
You know,
okay.
The question, you are just...
I'm sorry.
Nitpicking a situation and try, you know, fine. We can turn around and the reason that came up, Chuck was here at that meeting, and Carlton had asked, "Well, what? Why don't we replace that unit? If you need to replace it, put it in the budget." Mm-hmm. All right, but a regular skid steer. Spending, I don't care if you spend $10, you're wasting the money. You're wasting the money. It's not efficient for what we need. So, you know,
Is there a reason this wasn't presented back at the budget committee if it was needed?
For the simple reason it was said, let's put money into the budget. That's what Mr. Roby had recommended at that time. And it was like, bang, here it is. Put it in the budget. Don't put it in a warrant article. Put it in a budget.
Right. Is there a reason this particular thing with the arm wasn't presented at that time? I think it was just a plain... Yeah, right.
Need to replace.
Why wasn't this... Why didn't he say he needed this? Back, it was only a couple of months ago. It wasn't that long ago.
We want to look at what we need. That's what it was entailed to do. For us to turn around and come to you and tell you to buy a machine that is not adequate for the needs, I'll go with when you end up asking, pardon me, Chief, there's a cruiser you need what you need, correct, to do the job. I'm not putting you on it, but that's all I'm saying. You couldn't go out and get a Volkswagen to do it.
He's
correct?
Just in the audience. Yeah. I don't know if that's fair to put him on spotlight.
No, it isn't.
That,
but what I'm saying is, you've had somebody that's done the research that works down there.
We have one.
And, you know, I can see at this point we vote on, it's going to be a vote no anyhow. So, I mean, it's...
Well, let's let Colin finish.
We have one of these, Russ. We have the machine here like this with tires on it. But
correct.
We have one.
Right. If you went to the page I told you, it showed it with the tires on it.
We have one of these. And why do we need two? We have one. I'm confused.
Because why spend money for something you don't need?
Then
that's
we don't need
asking.
Anything then. We won't spend any money because we got
we
one
need to.
Doing the job. We got a very small recycling center, very small.
That's why you have a skid steer, because it's very small.
Okay. So we don't need two of these machines. We need one, and we got one.
We have one.
Okay, so why do we need two? I'm missing something. I'm sorry, but...
Well, that unit, it's got 7,000 hours on it, and it's used daily that they're open.
Okay.
Okay, so we can push this down the road, and if it breaks down, we'll bring it forward to get a replacement at that point, then.
Is that easier? Do you want to try that? If we already have one of these, but it's not quite as it doesn't have the extended.
It
do you want to do
extended,
that?
We have the one that has extended bone.
Right.
Okay, it works.
That's what we have, and that's used daily.
Okay.
And you talked to Chuck on there. You were one of the people that took
time
to go down and see what it is and talk about it.
Yes, I did.
And I appreciate that very much.
Because I'm not familiar with it, so
right.
I can't make a decision
why,
on something.
That's why this was prepared for everybody, you know, to...
So do you want to, how's that? Do you want to see when it breaks? I mean, how long does this take to get if it breaks? Could they have it, like, within a week, or...
Well, any machine like that can be repaired. We just repaired the one
he said that.
We're going to trade in for $3,000. We just...
Yes.
Right.
We can repair it, and it's gone since September when it was on its last leg till here we are in June.
We didn't say it was on its last legs. You're the one that brought it up at that meeting and
said, respectful, everybody.
We should look at replacing it and put it in the budget.
Well, I go back and read the minutes.
It was
Chuck
never,
said that
he didn't have it in his
budget.
One at a time, please.
Okay.
Chuck said he didn't want to spend any more money on it because it was in bad repair. Go look at the minutes from last September, and it came out that if it's that bad, let's not spend any money on it. But we went ahead and did that anyway for a machine that is obsolete down there, you say. So why did we bother fixing it? Why didn't we just put it outside and leave it broken and use
instead
the one that works?
Yeah.
I'm very confused, Russ.
Okay.
Well, you're the one. He did not have it in his budget, and you insisted to put it in.
Because he said
budget.
We
he
needed
said
to
needed
replace
yeah,
that machine that was broken and wasn't worth fixing.
Yeah, he did. I remember that.
We'll
look at the minutes. So how about, thank you for the information. That's very useful. How about if we see how we're going along, and if it breaks or something, I assume somebody can get a piece of equipment to you fairly. For that amount of money, for $65,000, I'd get it to somebody quickly, but...
There's
one
place here in town, in Concord, that has it.
Oh, okay.
There's only one place.
So they could probably get it to us if we need
it. There's one sitting on their lot now, but it's allocations and what have you. I don't know. I mean, that's, you know, you go buy a car and you look at it and you come back the next day, it could be gone.
I agree.
That's the nature of it.
Do you all feel comfortable doing that? We have the money there. If we need it, we can get it. Do you feel comfortable waiting?
Well, the argument's not going to change between now and 2 weeks from now, whenever the next time we meet.
No, I don't mean waiting until next week. Do you want to wait until the one that we have breaks? Do you feel what do you want to do, gentlemen? What would make you happy?
I don't know where I'm going to go with what Mr. Dan has informed me with, that what we're talking about, a skid steer front entry is useless to them down there. That's what he pretty much said. It's
right.
Useless piece of equipment. And we have one of these that runs, and we need to look at what we're doing down there. So I'm going to say we put it in the budget, but I was misinformed. So
we don't have to spend every dime we have.
That's right.
My husband's always said.
So I was misinformed, and we got a machine that's working, and if we take care of it and have it serviced and have it looked at, it'll go a long time.
All right. How about
well, let me
okay.
Mr. Roby says he doesn't know what goes on, happens down there. Maybe it'd be a time for him to go and spend some time to see what is taking place down there. And what there is more than the 15 minutes when you run through and
mm-hmm.
put your stuff in the C&D or you put it in the garbage. Come down and take a look and see what's needed. And again, the safety aspect. Crawling over the front of a bucket is not an ideal situation. So, you know, it's you have a if you get an insurance situation, it'll more than pay for that $13,000.
But are you agreeable to what we just proposed, to wait until and see how it goes?
I'm not in favor of that at all. I'm in favor that we need the unit, and that's where I'll stay.
I say we make do with what we have, and look down the road and see what we're going to be doing down there in the next 2 years. Instead of buying another piece of capital equipment over there that may be useless to us 2 years from now.
And he might, and as well as we're all aware, he might need this. I mean, if he needs it, then we can address it at that point. Do I need a motion for that, or how about if we table this until needed? Is that something we can do, or?
Well,
how do you handle it?
You can do it. Somebody makes a motion.
Well, why vote on something that?
And if no one seconds the motion, it's dead.
I move we defer consideration on this until such time as it becomes more urgent than it is today.
That's your motion?
Yeah.
I'll second that, if I can.
Yeah.
All those in favor?
Aye. Yes.
Russ is opposed. Okay, thank you guys for your input. Boyd, would you
Madam
like?
Madam Chairman?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
Before you move on to your next topic, could I just ask a question? I heard Mr. Dan speak about a whole lot of construction material that came in. It sounded like 3 dumpsters full of construction material. Is that right, Russ? Is that what you said?
Yeah, we received construction.
Okay, so I have a question about construction.
May I stop you just for 1 minute? I just would like to do the payroll, and then I'm going to open it up to the public.
I can wait.
Do you mind?
No.
Okay, thank you very much. Do you mind reading that, Boyd?
Not at all.
Thank you.
All right, the weekly payroll and accounts payable manifest totals for May 24, 2018, the payroll was $16,209.42. Following week, the payroll was $17,282.33. For the accounts payable, the May 24th, it was $18,567.51. The following week, the 31st, was $32,640.16. For a grand total, two of those combined of $84,699.42.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion.
I'll move we accept them as I just read.
I'll second it.
Thank you, Russ. Thank you, Boyd. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. On to public comment or any other business, I'm sorry, from the board.
I have none.
Yeah, I'd just like to announce a project we're working on in the land use office. Dave and Andrea and I have got this little thing where we're looking at the zoning ordinance now to find out those features of the zoning ordinance that either are contradictory, they don't make sense, or they are not in conformance with state law. And we're keeping this ongoing kind of log of recommended changes to the zoning ordinance just so it makes it easier to administer. For Dave and Andrea and easier to understand for the public. And we're going to then make these recommendations to the planning board sometime before the fall or before town meeting so that they can present, so we have an ongoing effort to kind of improve the quality of the zoning ordinance. And I mean, no big policy changes in there, but it's just to make the thing a little more, workable. Dave often finds just unbelievable, contradictions within that same ordinance that he has a hard time reconciling. So we're trying to work some of the kinks out of this thing. So that's our project.
Yeah, that'll clean that up a lot. That'll help me out a lot, actually, the contradictions and this and that. It's so much easier when things are concrete, black and white. This is how we do it. When we get contradictions, what about this? What about that? What if I do this?
Yeah.
It's going to help a lot.
So that's kind of an ongoing effort we have.
Now, I'm glad you said that. And you go to the planning board meetings because I thought they were kind of doing the same thing, yet they've canceled their next meeting.
It's been so weak. Yeah, that would have been a good chance to work on that.
Yeah, I thought, because I read again what the planning board was supposed to be doing. They're supposed to be planning, not just seeing people when they come up for a site plan. And I'm thinking, why'd they cancel that meeting? It's a perfect opportunity to go over some of these. Do you know why they did come?
Yeah, they're going to get back on track. There's been some changes happen here since last March with the planning board and then the select board and the representatives, and they're going to get back on to
That's good to hear.
Looking at that.
See, the planning board's not aware of how difficult the zoning ordinance is to administer on a daily basis.
Yes.
You know, they're looking at it from, you know, 30,000 feet. They're not seeing it the way Dave sees it every day.
Blinders, you, yeah, exactly. Great, thank you very much. How about you, Russ? Anything else? Hang in there, Russ.
Okay.
I know, it'll all work out. Okay, Carla.
I have two things, and so if you just give me a minute. Mm-hmm. The first thing I want to say is that I think we should take a look at how we're recycling. We're 100 miles, 1,000 miles, a million miles away from what we intended. If we all look back, our recycling was going to cost us zero because we were going to sell all of our recyclable material. So that has changed. That's no longer viable. So I think it's reasonable to look at this now and have a discussion about what kind of changes, if any, we should make. The second thing is a more concrete question. Last time I was here, the construction material thing came up, and that we're not sure when people come in and they have a Candia sticker on and they're loaded with construction material, whether that construction material actually originated in this community or whether it originated in another community. And Russ just mentioned three dumpsters full of construction material. So I'm thinking, why do we accept construction material? I did a little construction project at my house and we got a dumpster. Why shouldn't anybody who's going to do a construction project be required to get a dumpster? This is not normal trash that you're talking about. This isn't your normal bag of garbage. You know, this is somebody's project.
Have you thought
at all about addressing the issue just of construction material?
It's kind of a
Does the town have an obligation to accept all the waste that anybody can haul over there?
I have curbside pickup. I can't put construction material out for pickup.
Okay.
That's one of the things in my contract. No construction material. You know, so I'm just asking the question, would it be reasonable to say no construction material?
Did you want to respond?
If you were to view what gets dumped into the C&D dumpsters, it's not just really construction material. It's spring cleaning right now. Everybody's cleaning out their sheds, their barns, their backyard accumulations and whatnot.
Right.
And a lot of that is what actually comes in. It's
well, I'm speaking just about construction. I'm not talking about somebody cleaning out their shed.
How much of a percentage do you think that is? Really? I think it's pretty thin, actually.
Well, you know, now we have a contractor in town that wants to help a person that needs some help and wants to keep the cost down, so that contractor then would bring it to the recycling center. So you have different reasons for people using it, and you mentioned a number of them, Dave. But you know, there's a reason for people can get a dumpster. A contractor, if he's doing anything major, you'd assume he'd have it. But you know, that contractor says, well, gee, I won't charge that person. I can dispose of it here at the dump. And you know, fine, but he's charging that person still the time to go to the dump and everything else. So it's not an easy answer. The other thing, my thought, because of NRA meeting, Waste Management has I was going to talk to him about, you know, why don't you put a flyer in spring and say, you know, you saw it advertised on TV, that bag, you buy the bag, it's costly, but, you know, what I'm saying is some people might not be aware of it, and if we eliminate some of that coming into our center, great. I mean, I'd like to see, you know, people that are doing any type of construction use it, but if they tear a porch down, or their swimming deck you know, so you can bring it over there. We're doing a service for taxpayers that are paying for it all the time, so.
It's a fine line, how much is too much, and, well, if it's mine, it's really not too much, but if it's yours, it might be.
It shouldn't be abused.
Exactly, that type of thing. So those are all things that are great to, I don't know what the answer is, but it's something to think about. Did you have something to add, Kyle?
No.
Okay, anyone else in the audience wanna?
Hi, Linda Bergeron, Diamond Hill Road. I just think if we don't have a place to put that surplus, those construction materials, like if you're taking down a fence, or, it's gonna end up in everybody's woods, it's gonna be on everybody's property. People are gonna just find a place to dump it, and they're going to dump it. That's just my.
It's a good point.
And those containers, the mattresses and what have you that come in are put on the top. So, you know, I mean, it's very useful. Otherwise, Dennis would be going around town picking up mattresses.
You got more than we do now, you mean?
Yeah, you're right.
Any other comments?
Dean Young, I think you all know I'm a carpenter, and I do a lot of little jobs. I don't do a lot of big jobs, but for me to get a dumpster for her, I just did a job for a gal down in the village. She had like four or five rotted clapboards that were painted and a rotted cardboard that was painted. And I took them down and put them in the dumpster. There's no way in the devil I could get a dumpster for that. It would, you know, it's crazy. I think a lot of the contractors, you know, if I had a big job when I did my roof on my house, I got a dumpster and did it. I don't know, you could correct me if I'm wrong, Russ, but I dump stuff in the dumpster. It's a lot of little stuff.
That's what I'm talking about.
It's not like someone comes in with a big tractor trailer and fills the thing up. It's everybody has a lot of little stuff, which for them to get a dumpster would be kind of tough. I think dumpsters are a great thing nowadays, you know. Because money, to travel down there is money for customers and stuff. But for little projects, it's you know, it's...
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what we have. That's what's used. And it was brought forward to us one time that this person was trying to save a person money by disposing the small amount over in our instead of a dumpster. So
maybe enforcement is a key to that.
It is enforced.
Well, that's what I mean. If they see someone coming in with three, no, I don't know whether it is. Like I said, the recycling center is not my forte, but maybe making sure that if we see one company, you know, Dean Young Carpentry coming in with four trucks of stuff that someone, you know, might mention it, that.
This is scrutinized. It is scrutinized.
Yeah, good. So. That's great. Any other comments? Yes.
I wasn't here at the last
That's okay.
department report, but I just had a couple quick things that I could just put on the list. Just want to say that we had the drug take back. We appreciate the fire chief letting us use the fire station. It's pretty successful. 54 pounds, two boxes of unwanted medication. This goes to show you how much they're prescribing out there. people are using our drug drop-off box. Citizens are using that. They've emptied that a couple of times. It's been full to the top. It's not a big container, but they have been using it quite often. Having some problems with a few of the portable radios, and some of them are getting old. And that might be something we're trying to look for grant money and maybe look at how the budget looks towards the end of the year and maybe purchase a couple of them. Like how it came to light is Rockingham switched over their frequencies. A couple of our older portables
Didn't
not compatible. Motorola doesn't have a fix for that, and they're getting outdated, and the radio people that service our radios, we're on a maintenance plan now, and they periodically inspect them, and they're telling us there's a few of them that should go bye-bye, so we're gonna look at that, do an inventory, and find out what we got, and what we can get rid of, and whatnot, down the road. I don't have any numbers now or anything.
Excuse me, who's your liaison?
Oh, me.
Oh, okay.
Me and Chief.
Come on.
Yeah, I'm good. I talked to Chief today, actually. I know I'm his liaison. I know that.
There we go. Thank you.
Just a quick update. Russ would like this. The guy pled guilty to the illegal dumping up on, he was fined $250 plus a 5% penalty assessment for dumping the stuff up in Hall Mountain parking area, so put that to bed. We have had an increase in some drug activity calls and some juvenile-related abuse type of situations in town, so that's required some additional investigation and whatnot, so it's getting a little taxing with that. It seems like when the warm weather broke, just we're getting busier with that type of stuff, and some of it doesn't rise to the level of a crime, but you have to investigate it, you have to have, for instance, we work with the Child Advocacy Center, so there was a safety check required on a young girl that apparently might have been exposed to something, but the officer has to go to the interview, and then you have a trained interviewer deal with the kid, or you're not having a police officer interview a child, and so people don't realize that, and that's, you know, done not here, done at two locations in the county and whatnot, so we've had a couple of those interviews go on. I don't know where they're going to lead to. It's been somewhat busy in that department. The old home day permit, just signed off on that today, sent that to the state to get the approval for the parade permit, the road closure and whatnot. That's about it.
Any questions?
Any comment? Chief, did you say 54 pounds of drugs?
Yes.
And I thought, I knew that's what you said, I'm pretty sure. And nationwide, the drug take-back program has increased in volume since its inception. 4 years now we've been doing that? Five?
Yeah, longer than that. It's been quite a while. I think this is the 14th one overall. They've had them for quite a while.
It keeps going up. So as we all know, that is a problem, opioid addiction today. And the turn back increases yearly,
the amount. It's gone up over here, yeah.
So the message probably isn't getting out there to the right people that we don't need as many pills being subscribed, because that volume goes up every year, how many we turn back in. So that starts at the top, at the pharmaceutical companies, to the doctors, to the insurance companies. We all pay for that.
Right.
And then we turn them in, and then we dispose of them. So that's...
There's something wrong.
And it increases. If the number was decreasing about the amount of drugs being turned in yearly, then we'd say, well, gee, we're working on taking care of this problem, not prescribing as many. But obviously, we're still prescribing as many, if not more, and they're not being used.
There's a couple of things on that I want to add, too. I think you make some good points. They have some committees, and they have new guidelines that they're trying to pass because they got the heroin. Yeah, I mean, the task force there, it's a trickle-down effect. It's taken a while, but I also think there's more awareness out there. This thing's being advertised all over the place, and I've had people say, well, I didn't know we could bring out drugs. I've got my father's medication that he passed away a couple of years ago. Here and there, people are saying, I say, bring it in. We don't ask questions. They tell us not to ask questions. We don't.
Well, it seems like a lot. Seems like a lot.
But you're right. It seems there is a lot.
54 pounds is a lot.
That's a lot.
They don't weigh much.
I remember before it was like
just
17.
A point, just a thought.
No, I agree. It seems like there's an awful lot out there
that aren't being used. So they're correct. Prescribed and they're paid for.
Yeah.
And then flushed.
Well, no, we don't flush them anymore, do we?
No.
No. They don't recommend that. No.
Yeah, I was going to say,
program.
I hope
it's in the drinking water.
Plus,
right. Yeah. We're all peeing.
So, once you get in the wrong hand, some of this medication.
Drink it,
we're
take it.
Okay, are we done?
Yeah.
Are we all done? Anything else for anybody? Oh, yes.
I just wanted to quit Cindy Griswold. I just wanted to clarify that the article Carlton was quoting from is really about single stream recycling, not what we do. And at the end, it says that we're all going to have to develop new ways to recycle.
Yep.
But it was single stream that was talking about.
Yeah, it was talking mostly, Ginny. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, about the recyclables have no value.
Right, but our recyclables do have value.
In
not
your,
as much as they used to.
In your opinion. In your opinion.
Well, even the fact we're not throwing them away, for our grandchildren, I guess, is, if I ever have any, but. That's another story. Go ahead.
Recyclables have a value.
Right.
There are some that have less value than others.
And have gone down.
I mean, this constantly saying that cycling has no value is wrong. Totally wrong.
Russ, I think what we're trying to get is, does it have net value? Does it have value that exceeds the cost of recycling? I mean, that's
right.
What we got to be looking at.
Right. Okay. Now, turn around and put it all in landfill. Put it all in landfill. These landfills get filled up, okay? Now, are we gonna put it on a train going into Kansas or Texas? Now are you talking, what are your costs? I mean, this sounds so great that we can go into landfill. There's only so much landfill that you're going to have. And you're talking bottles, cans, all this, and steel and all this can be recycled. You're going to just take that and throw it all in a landfill.
I agree. This is a great, this is a subject I think that you could go on and on.
But we keep coming back to single stream. And that we spent, as Mr. Roby said, we had a gentleman in here that is passionate about it. And he explained what it is. And nobody wanted to listen. It was just, you mentioned Chicago 100 times.
All right, so what we'll do is we'll end on a high note and we'll all try to reuse some bottles that we can or go to reusable containers for my grandchildren again, boy, that I will have someday, I'm hoping. And then we can, I think this is a great discussion to have with at the recycling committee or whatever.
Well, the recycling committee
is.
Has had this.
No, I mean, you know, for input. So how about if there's not anything else? And then you guys can continue to talk about it afterwards because you have the knowledge. I mean, but how, is there anything else for this meeting for us to act on? You're good?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want a motion to adjourn?
Yes, please. I'd
I'll
love
make
it.
That for you.
I'll second that.
There we go. All in favor?
Aye.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for coming in, people.